Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. It's Blog Talk Radio, Interpreters of the Oracles of God. Hope everybody's doing awesome tonight on this beautiful Thursday night, soon to be Friday. Thank you for being spontaneous with me. I call this one, He breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. And so that is from John 20:22. And of course, I want to thank IHOP Kansas for being so gracious to allow me to use their music. I thank you, Lord, for blessing them, keeping them, making your face to shine upon them, and giving them your peace. And of course, I want to declare Numbers 10:9. When you go to war in your land against the adversary who oppresses you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, and you shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and you will be saved from every single one of your enemies. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for remembering us. You know, I want my prayer to be, of course, with scripture, but, you know, we've learned these things before, but I think sometimes we need a refresher course about really all the amazing things that the Holy Spirit is to us. And I want to say thank you to Him. Father, in Jesus' name and by your power, Holy Spirit, my prayer today, Lord, is we have studied these things many times before, but Lord, that you will show us how awesome of a helper that you are, that you will show us, Holy Spirit, again, like revive this in us in a deeper way, that you are the Spirit of truth, Lord. That you bring us truth, that you're our teacher, that you help us remember what you say to us. Lord, Holy Spirit, you're the one that lets us know that we are not orphans. Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans because I'm going to send you a helper. And Lord, I thank you for disclosing Jesus to us. Oh, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that Holy Spirit, you take what is of Jesus and you give it to us. You let us know it. You teach us. You help us remember, Lord. You're our counselor, our comforter, our convictor, our sanctifier. Lord, thank you for everything you are to us. You guide us into all truth. Lord, let us really realize how amazing, how awesome, how we cannot live without you. We don't want to live without you. Lord, I thank you. Whatever you hear, you speak to us. You disclose it to those who love Jesus. And I thank you for that. Lord, let us remember once again just how incredible you are. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. So, I wanted to go into John 14. I'm starting at verse 15. Actually, starting at verse 14. Well, no, 15. You know, Jesus talks about how he knows if someone loves him. And he says this, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Then he talks about our forever and ever helper. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. The Spirit is truth, and he abides in those who receive Jesus, and he will be in us. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him, but you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. Oh, isn't that awesome? Our forever and ever helper. Thank you, Holy Spirit, our teacher, the one who helps us remember what Jesus said to us and says to us. The one who lets us know we are not orphans, we are children. Because it says that those who are led of you, Holy Spirit, those are the ones who are the children of God. And so think about, we're going to keep going in John 14, we're at verse 19. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Isn't that incredible? I have to say that again. In that day, you and me will know that he's in the Father and we're in him. Isn't that something? I have to say that again. I am in my Father. Jesus says, I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. Lord, thank you, Jesus. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. And we talked about how intimate that is. I think within the last month, I explained what disclosing is so amazing. It's so personal. It's so incredible. And so Jesus answered and said, here's John 14:23. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. Isn't that awesome? In John 14:24, he who does not love me does not keep my words, and the words which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. And think about, you know, what Jesus said. He told me it was a command, you know, wait for the promise of the Father. In Acts 2, he says, wait. He's commanded them to wait for the promise of the Father, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. But I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. If I go, I will send him to you. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. Praise the Lord. He's already been judged. He's already been defeated. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. That sounds kind of prophetic, doesn't it? He's going to disclose to you what is to come. That's John 16:13. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. Oh, Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you for showing us what's to come. Thank you for guiding us into all truth, for helping us and comforting us and consoling us. Thank you, Lord. Now, we have to talk about Mary Magdalene and when she saw Jesus. I just want to kind of share a timeline that God showed me while I was studying this. John 20:15. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, If you have carried him away, tell me where you have led him, and I will take him away. And Jesus said to her, Mary. And she turned and said to him in Hebrew, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said to her, keep this in mind. Jesus said to her, stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but I go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father and my God and your God. And now, of course, Jesus had arisen. When he said this to Mary, he was about to ascend. And so, we're gonna backtrack a little bit. I want you to keep this in mind. John 7:37. Now, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Now, did you catch that? As the scripture said. As the scripture said, by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the illumination of the Holy Spirit. But this he spoke of the Spirit. Now, catch this. Whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Now, think of what he said to Mary Magdalene. Don't cling to me, because I have to ascend. He had to ascend to the Father first. And he told Mary, I have to ascend. And he said, go tell them I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. And so the first time Jesus appears to them is in John 20:20. He says, and when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Think on what Jesus said. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Then he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Now Jesus had to do the same thing. He had to be filled with the Spirit. Remember, he had to come in power out of the wilderness by the power of the Spirit. And that's once he came in the power of the Spirit, that's when he started doing all the things that he did. And so we're just going to stop there 1 second. Because I want you to remember, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Spirit. Was it the same time that the book of Acts talks about? I believe so. And so let's stop. I'm going to play a song about the Holy Spirit. It's called He Is Like. It's absolutely great.
With emotions, with all.
He's like fire. He's like rain. Rain of spirit. The fire of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So incredible. And he loves us. And he wants to help us. And so we really have to learn how to yield to him so that he can be everything he wants to be to us. And so the first time that he appeared after he was raised from the dead was in John 20:20. And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." So he wanted us to be equipped, just like he was equipped, because he's our forerunner. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And of course, the second time was in John 20:24. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples were saying to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see his hands, the imprint of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." So after 8 days, his disciples were again inside. Now here's the second time. Sorry about that. So the other disciples were saying to him, "We have seen the Lord." So that was the first time. And this, what I'm going to talk about, will be the second time. After 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them, and Jesus came, the doors having been shut. And stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach here with your finger and see my hands, and reach here your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believing." And then Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Of course, there's more to each of these times he appeared, but for time's sake, I'm just going to give you a little piece of them. Now, the third time was in John 21, after it says this. This is now the third time that Jesus was manifested to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. And this is when he made fish for them, and he told them, you know, to cast where to cast their nets. And this is where he talks to Peter and, of course, the rest of them. But he talks to Peter and tells him his mission. And so what's really neat is each author is telling what happened. And so they're telling their part of his story. And so you see at Pentecost, after Jesus arose from the dead, he breathed on them. And so the book of Acts is, of course, talking about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, where Jesus breathed on them. And it's the same thing. This is at Pentecost. And so he writes an account to Theophilus. He writes about how Jesus presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. And of course, if you want to read more in depth about it, read about them in John 20 and 21, and of course other places. So let's go to Acts 1, which is talking about when Jesus breathed on them, which of course was a fulfillment of the book of Joel. And so it says, the first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after he had by the Holy Spirit given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. To these he presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of things concerning the kingdom of God. There it is again. Gathering them together, remember what I was telling you, it was a command. He commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you heard of me. And of course, I read to you John 14 and other places where he's talking about the Holy Spirit. And he says, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or epochs with which the Father has fixed by his authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. Now, for those who say it all passed away, I don't think those who were going to go to the remotest parts of the earth were even born yet. And he says in the last days, he's going to pour out his spirit on all flesh. And so there is still, I mean, the Holy Spirit is still pouring out, but it's, I believe he's going to do it even more. He's going to pour out all mankind. He says that in Acts 2. And part of the outpouring that he poured out on the day of Pentecost, which is for his maid servants and his men servants, are dreams and visions and prophecy. And then his beautiful gifts, which are in 1 Corinthians 12. So as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. They also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you to heaven, will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven. That's right. Hallelujah. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. When they had entered the city, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. That is Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. These, with one mind, were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus. She was there too. She received the Holy Spirit too, and with his brothers. And so when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. Now, can you imagine? Remember when Jesus was like, he said, receive the Spirit. He breathed on them, and the breath of God came. And that is the mighty rushing wind from Acts 2. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. He breathed on them, and the mighty rushing wind, the breath of the Spirit came. And it said, and there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each of them. And I did a study on it. It was so beautiful. He conferred the kingdom on them. It's so incredible. And so they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. And of course, we've talked about that there are varieties of tongues. We're not going to get into that today because we've been talking about 1 Corinthians 14. We covered that. We covered, you know, that, yes, love is the more excellent way. Yet, he tells in the very, after he corrects the Corinthians in the love chapter, in the very next chapter, he says, pursue love, but earnestly desire spiritual gifts. And so he wasn't saying in that chapter that the gifts had passed away. He was giving them a correction because they were abusing gifts. And so we have to rightly divide the word of God. And I just love, I just have to go into John 3 from the Green's Literal Translation. Just, this is so powerful. Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, if one is not generated from above, he is not able to see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how is a man able to be generated being old? He is not able to enter into his mother's womb a second time and be born. Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, if one is not generated out of water and spirit, he is not able to enter into the kingdom of God. That having been generated out of the flesh is flesh, and that having been generated out of the spirit is spirit. Do not wonder, because I said to you, you must be generated from above. Listen to this language. What did Jesus say to him? He said he breathed on them and said, receive the Spirit. And in Green's literal translation, in verse 8, it said, the Spirit breathes where he desires, and you hear the voice, but you do not know where he comes and where he goes. So is everyone having been generated from the Spirit. Glory to God. For these men are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth of my Spirit on all mankind. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my bond slaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Isn't that gorgeous? Now, we're going to go down to Acts 2:32. This Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth. He pours forth this which you both see and hear. Peter said to them, repent, and each of you will be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And of course, you can go into Acts 19, which I might have actually put in here, that talks about the doctrines of some of the baptisms, plural. And so the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. This Jesus, now we're going down to Acts 2:32. This Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. And of course, now we're going to go into Acts 4. And the religious folks of that day did not receive the believers. And of course, we see that from many in this day too. You know, a man was healed and they went into a rage. So after letting them go, the believers prayed for boldness. And here's something. Whoa, we need this. The Holy Spirit shook it up and gave them boldness. And he will do the same for us. And so in Acts, we're going to go into Acts 4:19. But Peter and John answered and said to him, whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than God, you be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. When they had threatened them further, they let them go, finding no basis on which to punish them on account of the people, because they were all glorifying God for what had happened. For the man was more than 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. When they had been released, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, O Lord, it is you who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the Holy Spirit, through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said, why do the Gentiles rage? and the peoples devised futile things. The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence, while you extend your hand to heal and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. Isn't that awesome? I think we need a touch of boldness today too, don't you? I do. And so, Lord, I'm just praying that you will shake it up, that you will fill us all with your boldness. I ask this in the mighty, mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will do it. He loves to do it. He loves to fill us with boldness and power to be witnesses, to testify about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so let's go a little bit more. Remember, I was talking to you about doctrine, and I always, always use this, because if you read in Acts 8, you'll also see where they come to lay hands on for people to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they ask, you know, what were you baptized into? And they say, we were baptized into the name of Jesus, and then they baptize them in the Holy Spirit. And of course, we're going to go into Acts 19:1. It happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the upper country and came to Ephesus and found some disciples. And he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said to him, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. And so he says, well, then what were you baptized into then? And so they go on to tell him. They said, into John's baptism. Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him, that is, in Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking with tongues and prophesying. And there were in all about 12 men. And remember, I was talking about how Paul speaks of what love is and corrects the Corinthians about love, and that if the gifts weren't operating with love, well, it wasn't going to happen. It was going to fly. God was not going to be happy about it, because faith works by love. And so we've discussed in detail that Paul makes it perfectly clear that, yes, pursue love, yet earnestly desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. That whole chapter, 1 Corinthians 14, is about order, and that Paul wants to see all edified. And he discusses the varieties of tongues, because the utterances that the Spirit demonstrated on Pentecost are different than the ones discussed for the church, than the ones that operated in the church. And so we discussed that. And so we're going to continue next week talking about the Holy Spirit. And so you have to remember, too, that we serve God in our spirit. And so we're going to talk about Romans 1:9 real quick. For God, whom I serve in my spirit, in the preaching of the gospel of his Son, is my witness as to how unceasingly I make mention of you. So we serve God from our spirits, and we have to worship him in spirit and truth also. And so we're going to stop there, because time is running out, and I want to play a song before time does run out. And so I played a bit of this last week, but it's so beautiful, and it's called Let Heaven Come, and it's by Lauren Holmes. And so we're going to continue talking about the Holy Spirit. And I know for a lot of us, it's a review, but I pray for some that it just lets you realize how incredible the Holy Spirit is if you haven't really studied about him. So thank you so much, and I'll see you next week.